I am self-disciplined when my inner voice tells me something, and I do not argue. This is Dr. Herb Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, saying, I am, with the thought for today, I am self-disciplined when my inner voice tells me something, and I do not argue. You say, well, sure, if I hear my inner voice, I'm not going to argue. When I hear my inner voice, I'm not going to argue. We do it all the time. That's our nature, to be argumentative with our inner voice. Our inner voice tells us many things. Our inner voice says, don't eat that cake. It's more than you want. You're going to have a sick tummy if you eat that cake. Our inner voice says, don't kiss that girl. You're going to get a slap in the face. Our inner voice says, if you are sincere and if you are loving and you have integrity, the world is your oyster. But if you are dishonest and if you are not fulfilling what is really inside of you, you will not be happy. Our inner voice tells us these things. Now, many little children see people who aren't there, and it's not just their inner voice. They actually see them. And then they say to their mother and dad, I see something, you know, I see somebody, and Johnny is my special friend there, whatever, you know. And their mother and father says, oh, come on now, you know, that's foolishness. And of course, if the parents would merely say, hey, tell me all about it. Tell me all about it. I told you the story about my friend Freddie, who was mentally very unbalanced. And Freddie was in a rather commanding position over me one time. And I said, Freddie, how are you this morning? He says, I'm the devil. And I said, hey, cool. I have never met the devil. Tell me what the devil is all about. And Freddie was taken aback because he thought I was going to be frightened about him, you know. And he says, well, the devil is in charge of everything. Anything the devil wants to do, he can do. The devil can say anything he wants to say. The devil is the master of his world. The devil creates all the things that go on in this world, all the good and all the bad things that go on in the world. The devil is, he said, everything that we commonly think of God doing, you know. And I thought, hey, that's cool. I didn't know the devil had all of those potentials to him. And he says, oh, yes, and a lot more. And I said, well, tell me. And so he went on and on for quite a time. Well, now that was one day. The very next day, because of a little twist in his brain, he says, Herb? I said, yes. I'm God. And I said, yes, we all are. That's beautiful. But I have never met God as another person. Now, will you tell me what God is like? And he started to tell me what God is like, and it was exactly the same thing that the devil did, and maybe even a little bit more. But I said, Freddie, you are fantastic. I am so happy to meet God. And so he told me all these things, and I said, that's wonderful. Now, you see, when we really listen, here is a mentally deranged person that I was working with in this institution, and he had problems with his mind. He had problems with his thinking, with his order of you know, thinking. And so I didn't judge him in the slightest because I didn't know what wonderful things were going to come out of it. And he talked. And consistently, the evil was wonderful and the good was wonderful. He thought saying the word devil was going to frighten me because devil is supposed to frighten people. And that the devil could do anything. And the devil, as the Bible calls it, is a fallen angel. But the thing is, why should it frighten me? Why should I be upset about it? You see, what he was doing in his deranged way was listening to his inner self. He was listening to the divine within him. He was listening to that inner voice with all the clarity of a genius. And he is and was a genius. And so everything he explained to me was exquisite. And it was explained as a matter of fact. This is who I am, you know. And no punches pulled or anything. And I thought, Freddie, you're fantastic. Now, you see, Freddie was mentally unbalanced, which maybe meant this, that he did not restrain the inner voice from expressing itself. You know, And he was able to let the inner voice come through and say what it wanted to say. And the inner voice each time was good. Now, he had done some bad things, and I had counseled him about that. And in doing the bad things, he says, well, how do I change, you know, my attitude from being bad like that, you know? And I said, did you think they were bad? He said, no. I said, well, then don't change your attitude. Just decide that you have done those things, you don't have to do them anymore. They're over with. Oh, my God, that's so easy, that's so wonderful. I don't have to worry about stopping a bad habit because I just do other things now. Well, now, what other things you want to do? Oh, I want to be God. I said, super. Now, what do you think God is? God is loving, kind. I said, hey, that'd be great. You know, but I moved him mentally, because he listened to his inner voice, from the past, which was limiting to him, which he was chastised for doing, which was not good, and he moved into a new level of thinking. It's just like our friend Richie here. He says, I am so happy that you had the patience to work with the little boy that I was, with the little attitude that I have, with the selfishness and so forth, and the lack of humility. He says, you treated me like a master all along, even while I was finding myself. And this is great. This is great. Now, you see, he too woke up. We all wake up from being little children. We all wake up from the time when we are learning and growing and expanding our consciousness to the point where we are our consciousness and are our consciousness wonderfully. Now, this is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Yes, this is a wonderful thing. We want to live in the now, and we want to listen to our inner voice, be aware of what that inner voice has to say, and, hey, we don't always have to follow it. We don't follow it. We don't always have to follow it, but we do have to listen to it. When we listen to it, miracles happen in our life. When we don't listen to that inner voice, then all of our machinations, all of our uniqueness, the uniqueness of us, doesn't come through. Because our inner voice is our unique self. We're universal, it's true. We're one with all, it's true. But our inner voice is that special thing about just us. Like, for instance, the inner voice telling Ellen, go play tennis. And the inner voice telling Elias, go ride in your boat. And the inner voice telling Mariella, go and be with your friend, you know? And Diego, go and do this. You know, the inner voice saying these things. You know, what inner voice? Inner voice always. It's always the inner voice telling us. And what we want to do is follow that inner voice. But maybe it's not good for us. Well, then don't do it. Then it's your choice. But the inner voice tells you, but what the inner voice tells you is what you really have in your heart to do. And if you have in your heart, and I don't mean a loving thing in your heart. In your heart, you may have to have revenge. Ellen, how do you say that? Revenge. Yeah. In your heart, you may have revenge. Now, that's not good. That's not going to help you. And you want to be master of that. But, yes, follow your revenge and turn it around and make it love. When the revenge thought comes to you, they're mean to me, they're hurting me, they're doing this, they're doing that. And when that comes to you, then just stop and say, hey, I'm the master here. You are not going to control my anger. You're not going to control my happiness. You're not going to control my life. I am in charge of my life. And when you take charge of your life, no one can walk on you. No one can make you angry. You make yourself angry. No one can make you happy. You make yourself happy. No one can make you rich. You make yourself rich. People can give you money, and if you are not in a rich consciousness, the money will not be yours. Even though it's there, it won't be yours. Now, the federal government and state and county and so forth, governments, have a condition. People die. People move away. People have retirement funds. People have money that they put in the bank and then they move away and forgot about it. you know. It's just like he did Mary. She says, I had $8,000 on a checking account. Where did it come from, you know? Well, we know. The thing is, then the government publishes a list, because they can't find these people, of the money that's available and of the people's names. So if you were to go on the internet and look up under retirement funds and other things, you know, you have to know where to look and see if your name is there. You may very well have some money that is owing to you, not only owing to you, but it might have gained interest. And you might have $3 or $4 million.
Wow.
And it's there. There are $60 billion, I think, the last report I heard, of unclaimed money, you know.
Wow.
And this is amazing. But you're rich, but you don't even know it. You know, you're rich, and you're living from hand to mouth. And you say, oh, that's so strange. But you got it, but you don't know it. Mm-hmm. We all are rich. Now, $60 billion, that's bigger than our friend Bill Gates, you know. But still, it's a lot. Okay. When we listen to our inner voice knows those things. Our inner voice knows money that is owed to us, because our inner voice never forgets anything. Our inner self is aware of all of the investments that we've made at any time, at any place, of the money that we have left over in accounts that we've forgotten, you know, of aunts and uncles who have left us money and they couldn't find us. They didn't know where we moved to. People who change addresses. You know, people change addresses and don't inform. We know that so well with our mailing list. People change addresses and they don't inform us. And so we pay a great fee for changing the address because they didn't tell us. And sometimes they're just off the list because nobody tells us a change of address. But you listen to that inner voice. And that inner voice says, always be true to yourself. Always tell everything out in the open. You should have no secrets. People have come to my house and said, Herb, you can't have any secrets in that house. You have windows on every wall and no curtains, a curtain only where the sun comes in. You know, we keep it from getting too warm or something. And I said, yeah. And even in your bathroom, I mean, you come to the front door and you look right at the toilet, you know, and you look right at the sink and you look, if Herb is doing anything in there, whatever he's doing, you're seeing it. Well, if you want to peek, go ahead, you know. And if it's teaching you something, good, you know. And if it's not teaching you something, then don't look, you know. And, hey, that's life. That's life. I had the same thing over at the embassy, but Ellen closes her drapes now because Ellen has been raised with the idea that she should not expose herself to her garage and her driveway. And that's okay, but maybe she has another reason. But, again, we don't judge other people. We only judge ourselves. No. What is it that you would like? I am self-disciplined. When my inner voice tells me something, I do not argue. Sylvia, your inner voice is telling you that you're a millionaire. Now, don't argue.
No, sure not.
Now, say, okay, inner voice, you tell me I'm a millionaire. Now, tell me how I'm a millionaire. Tell me where it is.
Where is it?
Yes, and I accept.
I accept.
Right, love? Love was laying there in the sun. He says, that sounds very strong. So, I accept, and that's wonderful. You see, this is wonderful when you dialogue with your inner self, and you talk to your inner self, and you live in your inner self. I tell you, we have such a joyous, fabulous, marvelous life that stands before us, and we don't even know it. We say we're limited, we say we're sick, we say this here. Let me tell you a little story here. Edgar Casey is a stupid fool. He's an idiot. He would go into a trance, and then he would have people, doctors and staff and so on, come to him and bring him letters and requests of people who have illnesses. Well, now, that stupid man would listen to his inner self and speak through trance in his inner self to his secretary, who'd write this down. And then what he would give there is he would say, they should take this particular type of medicine, and this particular type of medicine is exactly what they need. So then the people would go to this pharmacist and look for that medicine. The pharmacist would say, that's not here. We don't have that. And 2 days later, they'd get a call from the pharmacist, "Hey, we just got that medicine in. It was just on the market today, not before, you know. How did you know about it?" Well, Edgar Cayce listened to his inner voice. Stupid man, idiot. If more of us would be stupid men and idiots like Edgar Cayce, without the trance, we could be beautiful. We could follow our inner voice and just go on. The trance is great. We all are sort of in a trance. We listen to our inner voice. We say, "No way, no. I'm not beautiful. I'm not handsome. I'm not wonderful. I'm not chosen. I'm not the chosen of the universe, you know, like the Christ Jesus, you know. I'm not this and that." And hey, go on, keep it up. You depopulate the chosen people, and then all that's left is me. Ha, 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 ha. You see? But don't do that, because you're chosen. You're wonderful, and you're the one who chooses yourself. So be an Edgar Cayce. I mean, what a fabulous guy. He's gone now, but he's left tons of literature behind, and readings and stuff, and things that have been proven to be valuable. And he's left some things that didn't work out too. But what the heck, you know. It's probably they didn't transcribe what he said right. Because a lot of times people in transcribing things, they're going to take down what they think you said rather than what you really said. Did you listen clearly? I listen to Ellen and Sylvia oftentimes, and they come from Europe, and they do not pronounce the American words exactly like I'm used to hearing them. And so I'm thinking to myself, what are they saying? Like Ellen says, revanche. Well, what is revanche? It sounds like a very lovely, delightful French activity, you know. But that's revenge, and that's not very lovely and delightful. So I have a lovely, delightful attitude in my mind when she's, "Oh, I have my revanche, you know, I have my revanche." And I think to myself, "Well, how wonderful. What does it taste like, you know?" And then she says, no, my revenge. I said, oh, you certainly are a tough woman, you know. And you see, when we are in Switzerland, let's speak like the Swiss, or stay with our native tongue. When we're in America, let's speak like Americans, or stay with our native tongue. And if we are not going to do our very utmost to speak dialectically pure language, we are not helping ourselves. So be disciplined and listen to your inner voice. Your inner voice says, to the pure, all is pure. And be pure, be wonderful, be fantastic. I tell you, it's a wonderful world we live in. I am self-disciplined when my inner voice tells me something. I do not argue. I love you. I love you. I love you.